Merry Christmas, and grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ. Father, Son, Merry Christmas. Have you been up early this morning opening gifts? Some of you? Well, at least those who have young children, we do that sort of thing. And I have a couple of the gifts that rewrapped with permission of the family. I'd like to share a couple with them now so you can look into our home, what it was like a little bit Christmas morning. Here are several of them. This was a gift to me from a very mysterious admirer, myself, under the guise of Santa. Oh my goodness, would you believe with what exactness Santa knows my life, I got a grip for my racket. Isn't that great? Since he even knew that my present grip was wearing out. Here's a gift to Beth and me from my parents. Oh, don't want to rip the cover, too. It is a Christmas list book, which we'll enjoy. A book. That's a great gift to give to one another at this special time of year. Here's a gift to Naomi. And as you know, Naomi is all girl, but she's also all boy at the same time. And so we got her this remote control helicopter, which I'm as excited about using as she is, and I can't wait to get home after the service and get those batteries in. She got a gift from the Energizer Bunny on her little card for the gifts that go along with this one. And these are the kinds of gifts we're giving to each other in celebration of our Lord's birthday. Let's look at some of the gifts that were given to Jesus on the very first birthday when he was born into the world. Let's look at the Magi, the wise men from the East, and then we'll talk about a little bit more about these gifts that we can give to God and God gives us. Matthew 2, it says, "When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They knew where it was because the prophet Micah said, 'In Bethlehem of Judea.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, ascertained what time the star appeared, sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go, search diligently for the child, and when you find him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.'" Yeah, right. "When they heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star, which they'd seen in the east, went before them till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." Still love that King James type. "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him," because he's God and he's King of Kings. "They then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." So they came and offered gifts to the Lord Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, what kind of gifts are you going to bring to him? These are the kind of gifts we give one to another in joy and love and celebration of Jesus. What kind of gifts, though, are you going to bring to Jesus today? Well, let's talk about that. And then we'll talk about the gifts that God has come to give us. Here's another gift I haven't opened yet. This would be, I think, the gift that God gave to us on Christmas. What do you think it might be? Well, it comes in the gold, frankincense, and myrrh collection, but let's see. He gave us his only son, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something today. All of God's gifts are wrapped up in this one gift. Let's talk about that today. Because if we can understand the gift that God gave to us, I think we'll understand even better the kind of gifts that God wants us to give to him and to one another. He delights in these, but there are some that he delights in far more than these. Let's take a look at these. First of all, myrrh. The wise men brought myrrh from the east. And actually, this was a special fragrant gum from a particular tree. It was found in Arabia, in the east. It wasn't found in Palestine. So this is a very precious thing to bring to the king. It was fitting to bring to the newborn king, Jesus Christ. And if you follow the play on words here, the wise men came for myrrh, with myrrh, Jesus came for mercy. And this is one of the gifts most precious to us on this Christmas day, which we remember and celebrate, that God indeed has truly brought us mercy. Let's talk about that. Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Myrrh has an aromatic, beautiful smell to it. Well, so also was Jesus' sacrifice an aromatic, beautiful smell to God, which he received in order to bless you with his mercy. Now, what's mercy? Let's understand that gift God gives to us. Well, in the days of Napoleon, there was once a woman who came to the emperor to ask for mercy for her son. But the emperor, Napoleon, said, "This man has committed the crime twice, and justice demands that he die." And the woman said, "But I don't ask for justice, O great king. I plead for mercy." Then the king, Napoleon, says, "But he doesn't deserve mercy." And the woman said, "Yes, Lord, but that's what mercy is. He doesn't deserve it." And then with this, the king, Napoleon, it is said, "For this saying, your son is freed. Mercy you've asked for, and mercy you have." Let's understand something about God. He was under no obligation to forgive you. He would have been righteous, good, and just forever had he not done so. But it's the king's great delight to practice and to give to you what you don't, and to not give you what you deserve, which is punishment. And Jesus Christ was born in order to come to take your punishment for you. Let's describe mercy this way. Let's say you go to a judge because you've committed a crime. And then the judge, because he wants justice, he says the fine must be paid. But because he wants to practice mercy on you, he says, "But I will pay it out of my own bank account. In fact, my own son, in this case, will pay the ransom for you." So mercy is really not getting what we deserve. It's God freely giving to us a very great kindness to pass over your former sins. Can you let that get into your heart this morning in Christmas? If you're weighed down under the burden of your sins, of your unworthiness, of those other things that grieve and make your spirit heavy and sorrowful, God says, "I have mercy on you in Christ. I forgive you all your sins to all who believe in my Son, confessing their sins and calling on his name." And just think about how God delights in mercy. If you want to know the king's heart, if you want to know God's heart this morning, listen to these words. Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Jesus says to the Pharisees, "If you'd known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, would not have condemned the guiltless." Mary, after she heard the words of that Jesus was to be born in her, said of God, "His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." Jesus says, "Love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You'll be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. Be merciful, therefore, even as your heavenly Father is merciful." The blind man cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And what did he give him? Mercy. And in the Old Testament, in the temple, where you put the Ark of the Covenant, over it was the mercy seat. That a place where God forgives our sins. It occurs 28 times in the Old Testament. And so the free gift, as Paul says, is not like the trespass. "For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. For as one man's trespass," that's Adam's sin, "led to condemnation for all men, so one man's act of righteousness," that's Jesus's, "leads to acquittal and life for all men." Listen to this word from your king through me today. To you who have believed in Jesus, confessing your sins, calling on his name and baptized, you are acquitted. you are pardoned. Return to your God, for he will abundantly pardon, it says in Isaiah. Let that sin go. You know, let my people go. Let that sin go. Today I say to you, for God gave you this gift in Jesus. So, mercy is a whole lot better than myrrh. That's the best we can do to giving to the king is myrrh, but the best he gives to us is mercy. There's another thing, though. They came bringing gold, right? Another fitting gift. Perhaps maybe some of you ladies received a gold something today, jewelry. Don't want to get the guys in trouble here if you didn't. In fact, it was funny when I was wrapping my wife's present last night, Beth. She was laying on the bed. And I said, close your eyes. I'm gonna wrap yours now. And then I made the mistake of zipping up the thing that I got her. And zip, she goes, oh, I guess that gives it away. Didn't do any good to close her eyes. But we can bring gold to the newborn king, but what he comes to bring us is grace. And this is something that goes along with mercy, but it's, in a sense, even better. Because mercy is not getting what you deserved, which is punishment, but grace is getting things superabundantly above even what you deserve. I mean, you don't deserve what is given you in grace, but God gives you superabundantly more. Let me see if I can explain that. Let's say you go to court before God. The judge is merciful to you. He pays your fine through the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ. Your fine is paid. You're free to go. I've shown mercy on you. But now grace enters in and says, I'm not only going to forgive you, our Father, the judge says, but listen to this. Luke chapter 15, the son returns for mercy. Maybe he'll be merciful. And what does the father do, the prodigal son? The father says, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and a coat for his back and kill the fatted calf and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You know, God has not only forgiven you your trespasses in Christ, but he's given you grace superabundantly more. Think of the gifts that he's given to you. Adoption. The judge says, now come and be my son. Be my daughter. Now come not only to be forgiven, but now come into my house. And my house is your house. And all that I have now is yours. And I make you a fellow inheritor with Christ, my son, your brother, who paid your fine for you. And he gives us the Holy Spirit. And he wants to create a whole new heavens and the earth for you. Do you see how, if Christmas is about giving, God is overflowing with presents for you. And where are these presents to be found? There's a story once told of a very wealthy man who had great, great treasures of art worth millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And he had an adolescent son who died early in life. And he wept so much over him and had such great sorrow of heart that this wealthy multimillionaire died soon after as well. But then in his will, he stipulated that everything, all of his works of art, were to be sold, but that he had a picture, an oil painting of his son, whom he loved, and that one was to be sold first, and then the others. Well, the auction day came, everybody gathered, ready to spend millions to acquire this great treasure of art. The first auction came up, the son, and nobody wanted it because it wasn't important to them. But there was, after a long period of silence and no bids, a very, very poor, dirt poor friend of the family came who was in a very servant class, and he loved the son, and he wanted to pay for it, and he bid 75 cents. And with that, the judge looked around, called for another bid. There were no other bids. Sold to the man there for 75 cents. And at this point, the auctioneer said, was over. What? What? It's over? It was stipulated in the will that whoever would buy the painting of the son was to inherit the entire estate. So this poor servant who had nothing ultimately had everything. And my point here in sharing this story with you is, in truth, when you receive and believe on Jesus Christ, when you receive that gift, when you buy that one and put your heart into that one, you get all the other gifts with it. Every gift of God that He has for you is to be found in Jesus Christ. When God gave you Jesus, He gave you everything. If you want the Holy Spirit, it's found in Jesus. You want the new heavens and the new earth, it's in Jesus. You want to go to be with God, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you want my continual fellowship, if you want power, you want strength, you want confidence, you want everlasting joy, these gifts are in Jesus. And so we rejoice in that also today, that not only have we received mercy at His hand, but we've received grace upon grace in Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is not only that, but eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then lastly, the third one here, they brought gold, myrrh, and what else? Frankincense, right? So instead of mercy, myrrh, God gives us mercy. Instead of gold, He gives us grace. Instead of frankincense, He gives us faithfulness. This is one that I think is just so amazing, because the mercy and the grace would be no good unless I could be sure it was forever, unless I could be sure that I would not lose it. But God also gives us in the gift of Jesus at Christmas time His faithfulness and His promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 11 of the Jews who didn't believe. As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved of God for the sake of their forefathers. Watch this. For the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. What's that mean? The gifts and the call of God can't be taken back. The Jews, when God gave to them the gift of Jesus Christ, even though they didn't receive it, even though they weren't saved, even though they were still under condemnation, the gift was not withdrawn. The gift was still offered and is still offered. God never says, oh, gotcha. No, He says, once I've given it, I've given it. And that gift is forever for us. God's, as it says in the Psalms, His faithfulness is to the clouds. His steadfast love is great to the heavens. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And as Jeremiah said, my soul continually thinks of my sin and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, therefore I have hope, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Would you lay hold of that with me today? That if God were to send you to hell, after you believed on His Son, after He gave you the gift of faith, and after all these things, as one old Scottish lady said, then God would lose greater than I would. What? You'd lose everything if you went to hell. No, but God would lose something greater. She said, God would lose His great precious name. In other words, His name is faithful. And God has promised, what I have spoken, that I will fulfill. And in Christ Jesus, and this great gift, He has given us the gift of a son. He has given us the gift of a friend. He's given us the gift of a relationship with God of peace through the forgiveness of our sins, mercy, through the abundant making us co-heirs with Christ in grace, and of the faithfulness that He will be our good shepherd from this day and unto the day of eternity. So, Merry Christmas to you all in Jesus Christ, receiving His gifts. Amen.